Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Ksuba Islamat Ches. We are holding four lines from the top of the Amud. Yesterday we came up with a list of many psukim which seem to indicate the same halacha, the same idea. When one is liable to misas bezdin, there is no way to redeem oneself through payment. You can't pay your way out of punishment. We had one pasuk regarding a fellow who is a ritzeach. No money in that case. No payment. Absolves him of misa. We had another pasuk indicating the same idea. Why the repetition? So the Gemara came up with an idea. There are two types of misas. There is a type of misa which, if that same very act was done b'shoigeg, there would be a kapara through a carbon. Then we have more severe, so to speak, more severe misos where if that were done, if that very act were done, b'shoigeg, there would be no room for kapara, there would be no option for chatos, etc. So perhaps pasuk number one is speaking about the most severe form of misa, which allows no possibility, allows no kapara for the shogeg option, in which case, sure, in that case, of course, you cannot pay instead of punishment. But in the case where it's a misa kala, which means that this very masa can allow for a kapara, were it done by shogeg, in that case, it's a lighter form of misa, and perhaps payment can be issued in lieu of misa. And that's why we need to psuk him. In either case, a fellow who's facing misas bezdin cannot pay instead. Says the Gemara four lines from the top of the Amud. Amalei Rava. So Rava responds to Rami Bar Chama. We need a pasuk for this. Don't we already know this halacha, that any time a person is chay of misa, there is no payment, be it this type of chiv misa or the other type? Amalei Rava ha, this idea midat Tana de Bechizkiya nafka, was already learned from Tana de Bechizkiya, the Tana de Bechizkiya. The pasuk puts together striking an animal and killing it with striking a person and killing him. We already had this connection a couple of days ago. Maka Adam or Maka Behema. The Torah links, connects killing a person to killing an animal. So we derive this comparison. Ma Maka Behema. Just as when one kills an animal, he always has to pay, irrelevant of the circumstance. It doesn't matter whether it was done by mistake or on purpose. A person is always responsible for his actions. And when it comes to damages, etc., you have to pay, regardless of whether it's shegig or mezit. Whether you had this animal in mind, you had something else in mind, it's irrelevant, you have to pay. Whether you killed the animal using a downward angling swoop of your hand, or use an upward motion, it doesn't matter. Either way, there's no exception to exempt him from this chiv. You have to pay in all circumstances. Just like by the animal, you pay in all situations. Likewise, the flip side, the contrast, by af makhe adam, when one kills a person, it's always going to be potter from mamain, because makhe adam generates misas bezdin, and misas bezdin preempts any monetary obligations. Af makhe adam loy sachlik bay, there's no difference under what circumstance it occurred. Bein shegig lemezit, whether it was by accident or on purpose. Bein miskaven l'sheim miskaven, whether you intended on killing this person or perhaps killing somebody else. Bein derech yirida l'derech aliyah, whether it was done using a downward angle or an upward motion. And we know that when something was done using a downward motion, if it was done with shegig, there is a chiv of galus. And what does this price to say? If one kills a person purposely, whether it was derech yirida, where if it would have been done with shegig, there would be a possibility for a kapara through going into exile, or it was done derech aliyah, using an upward swoop, in which case there is no galus for the shegig. Either way, ben derech yirida, derech aliyah, lechai ve'imamon, we never trigger a chiyuv mamon, ela lepoitrei mamon, it's always pater from mamon. This very act is an act that either generated misas bezdin, or could generate misas bezdin, Either way, we apply the concept of Paitroi Mamoin. There is no Chiyuv of Mamoin. So you see that even a Masa, which can potentially generate a Kapara, if it were done by Shegig, what is that Masa? If he kills a person, Derech Yerida. So he killed him by Meza Derech Yerida. He gets Misa. But this very same act, if it were done by mistake, and in this very manner, Derech Yerida, he would have the Shegig Kapara, Golos option. And still, what does Tana de Chizkiah tell you? There's no Chiyuv Mamoin. You never pay. You don't pay to exempt yourself up from Misa. You don't pay in addition to the Misa. So we know this halacha from here. We don't need an extra pasuk for this. Ela Ami Rami Bar Chama. Says Rami Bar Chama. I'll explain to you why we need the extra pasuk. The kasha was we have an extra pasuk. Ela Ami Rami Bar Chama Istrich. We need it for the following case. Sa'akadai Dechamina. Perhaps I would think, Hanemili, when do we say this idea that we never double penalize a person? Right? That's the recurring theme in the sugya. If a person kills somebody and while doing so he damages his garment, he gets Misa. We don't add payment to Misa. And that's what the pasuk here is referring to. The extra pasuk is telling you that even in the following case, we don't double jeopardize a person. We need the extra pasuk with the following halacha. Not to say that, you know, don't pay instead of Misa. But there would be room to think that you should pay in addition to Misa. There would be room to think, when do we say that when Reuben kills Shimon, Reuben gets Misa and no more? We don't add payment to that. That's speaking, for instance, in a case where he blinded him and killed him in the process. So Reuben gets Misa for killing Shimon, and we don't hold him accountable separately for, you know, taking out his eye. There's no extra payment for that. Kamlei b'derabim mina, he gets the most severe punishment, and that's it. Aval hecha d'simei es enei. But let's say he blinded him. As he was killing him, he blinded him. V'hargu b'davar ach, and he killed him in a different manner. So, of course, that happened simultaneously, in one moment. But blinding was not his cause of death. And with one hand, he blinded him. With the other hand, he killed him. So perhaps in this case, since blinding was not the cause of death, Eima nishkal m'mani minei, perhaps he should be obligated to pay for that eye. Comes the pasuk and says, no. Once he gets Misa, he's patur from anything else. Amalei Rava, so Rava responds to him, Ha Nami, this halacha as well is already known. Me'idach Tana Devei Chizkiah Nafka. It's been derived from the other braisa, taught in the base medrash of Chizkiah, the Tana Devei Chizkiah. Ayin tachas ayin, we take an eye for an eye. And the Gemara darshins, V'loi ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin, we don't take an eye and a person's life instead of another person's eye. This is a sugya in Bava Kamma, and Tosafos says, well, the same way we darshin this way, we'll say the other way around as well. We don't take a life and payment for the eye, tachas nefesh, when the other person gets killed. The bottom line is, once the victim dies, Reuben is put to death, and that's it. There's no additional payment. So we know this halacha. Elam Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, I'll tell you why we have the extra pasuk in our sugya. Istrich is needed for the following case. Perhaps I would say, every time a person is penalized financially, it's a knas. It's not basic financial obligations. These aren't mamon. It's not a matter of repaying principal. It's a special knas. Let's say, an oines, a mafati, pays, you know, the 50 shkolm. That's a knas. So this idea of paying knas is a chidushu shechid shetoyer, right? It's something ad ordinary. It's not conventional. So perhaps I would say that is compatible with Misa. Ordinary repayment doesn't work together with Misa. You get Misa, you putter from payment. But when it's Knas, maybe the Torah piled on another punishment. Afagav de miktol mishalim, even if he'll get misa for doing this ma'asa, we can apply a knas as well, kamash malan. That's why we need the extra pasuk to tell you that when a person is deserving of misa, he's exempt from any payment, be it basic payments, mamain, or even knas. Asks the Gemara, but this idea is not agreed upon by all. Remember, we have Chita's Rabbah, who disagrees. Ula Rabbah de Amar, just the opposite, Chiddush, hu shechid shetayr beknas. Since this idea of paying a knas is something unconventional, and therefore, afagav de miktol, even if a person is facing death, mishalim, he'll pay the knas on top of that. Haikol chirim mayavid lay. So what does he do with this extra pasuk? Chirim asher yochra min adam, that was the extra pasuk that we had yesterday. The answer is, he uses it for a different halacha. Savalok et Tanakama, he holds like the Tanakama, the Rav Chananya ben Akavya, we had yesterday in Machlokes, the Tanakama Rav Chananya held that once a person is condemned to death, he no longer has value to the extent of that a person cannot declare, I will pledge this person's erech, this person's value, and give it to the Beis HaMikdash. Once a person has been issued a verdict of Misa, he no longer has that ability to be used as a catalyst for erechin. That's what the pasuk is coming to teach us. So we've accounted for all the pasuk. Bottom line is, when a person is deserving of Misa, he's potter from any payment. We don't add payment, we don't take payment instead of the Misa. Be it this type of Chiyuv Misa, be it the other Chiyuv Misa, regarding Knas as well, we never add Knas to Misa, except according to Rabbah. Continues the Mishnah. So we speak about a Na'ara Hamuras. Sorry, we speak about the Knas, which is triggered when a person interacts forcefully with a Na'ara. That's the topic of our Perek. Now if you take a look at the Psukim, we find three stipulations, three conditions that have to be met. Number one, she has to be a Na'ara, past 12 years old, before she turns a Begeres, which is 6 months later. Number two, she has to be a Besula. Number three, the Pasuk says, Asher Loi Ayrasa, unengaged. So what happens if she's a Na'ara, she is Arsa, she was engaged at one point in Niskasha, and she got divorced from this fellow. And a fellow now goes, interacts with her forcefully. Is there a knas? Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer, ain't no knas. There's no knas applicable in this situation. Pasuk says, Asher Loi Ayrasa, she had engagement. Now, let's pay close attention to the wording. It says, Shenis Arsa Beniskasha. Not that she married, because if she was married, then she's considered a non-basula. Likewise, the Mishnah is speaking about, she was engaged, but is no longer. And you know why? Because if she was engaged presently, then she's considered like an Eshes Ish, in which case if a person interacts with her, there's Misas Bezen. Of course, when there's Misas Bezen, there's Kam Lebed the Rabba Mine, there's no payment at all. So we picked a very specific case as the point of Machlekes here, between Rabbi Yisrael Glili, who says that once she has prior engagement history, even though she's no longer engaged, there is no Knas, because it needs to conform with the words Asher Loi Ayrasa. Rabbi Kiva Omer Yesh Lo Knas. Even in this case, if she was engaged in the past, but since she is no longer engaged, she has Knas if one gets involved with her currently. Knas La'atzma, the only difference is, typically, the Knas payment is accepted by her father. In this case, it goes to her. That's the only change. Asks the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Saglili. Why does Rabbi Saglili exempt this fellow of Knas? Amakra, what do you mean it's a pasuk? Ashaloi Ayrasa. This Na'ara has to be a non-engaged Na'ara, which indicates, Hoy Ayrasa, that if she was even once engaged in the past, Ein lo Knas, she loses that Knas ability. Rabbi Akiva, what does he do with the pasuk? Ashaloi Ayrasa, sure, if there is no Ayrasa, then Lavia. The Knas is extended to her father. He receives the payment. But if she was a Rasa, there is Knas. Difference is, she receives it. Says the Gemara, what about the other stipulations in the Pasuk? She must be a Na'ara. She must be a Basula. Are you going to say the same there? Well, yeah. In order for her father to accept payment, she must be a Na'ara. She must be a Basula, but she's not a Na'ara. She's not a Basula, and she still gets Knas, but it goes to her. Is that what you mean? Elamayat, if that's the case. And the Pasuk says, she must be a Na'ara, which indicates v'loy bageres, and not a big error. So chinami dir as well, you're going to say, knas still applies, the only difference is, the la'atzma, she keeps it. Or when the pasuk says, besula, which indicates, v'loy be'ula. Hachinami dir as well, you're going to say, well, even my be'ula gets knas, the only difference is, this time it's la'atzma, the la'atzma, she receives it. And the fact is, we never find any mishnah, any brice, which should point in this direction, that a begeres or a bula is deserving of knas. So it's hard to believe that this in fact is true. Ela lagamra. Oh, apparently the pasuk is absolute about it. Not a besula, no knas. You're not a nara, no knas. Hochanami lagamra, here as well. Pasuk says, ashaloy rasa. She was nisarsa, skip the knas completely. Amach Rav Akiva. Says Rav Akiva, hay loy rasa. Hay loy rasa. This pasuk of loy rasa is not coming to tell you that if she was engaged, she loses knas. It's needed for a different halacha, and therefore unavailable to cancel the knas in this case. So the braisa begins with Shitas Rabbi Yosi Aglili, actually. Ashaloy Arasa. So this Nara was not engaged. Prat Lanara. Shinis Arasa Nisgarsha, except for a Nara, who was already engaged. So even after she got divorced from that engagement, She'ein lo knas, there is no knas, Divrei. Whose shita is this? Rabbi Yosi Haglili. But Rabbi Kiva Omer, yesh lo knas. Even in this situation, there is knas. I listen to the next two words. Uknasa lo via. You see, in contrast to Rabbi Kiva and our Mishnah, who agrees that there's some change that took place by the Narashinus Ars. Typically, payment goes to father, now goes to her. In the Brisa, this is the Brisa's version of Rabbi Kiva's shita, there's no change at all. Even a Narash and his Arsa gets Knas and it goes to the father, as it always does. And the Gemara later will ask on this. It appears that there are two versions of Rabbi Akiva. But in any case, Rabbi Akiva insists that even a Narash and his Arsa is deserving of Knas. And actually, the argument, there's a claim to back this up. Why? Since typically a father is entitled to receive the Kiddushin payment given on account of his daughter's engagement. Via zakai bekesef knas, and likewise a father is entitled to receive the knas money on account of his daughter's einus. We connect the two ideas, and we say, ma kesef kedushel, just like money on account of her engagement. Aval pishinis, arshav and isgash, even if this nara got engaged and divorced and engaged and divorced over and over, father is still entitled to receive that money. Le'avia, until she becomes a begeris and leaves his jurisdiction. As long as she's still a Nara, the Pasuk teaches us, father receives any money given on behalf of her Kedushin. Which means a fellow engages her, gives money to be Mekadesher, that money goes to the father. Av Kesef Knosa, likewise. Payment given for the Knas upon interacting with her forcefully. Av Alpishinis Arsav Nesgarsha Lovia, even if she was engaged and got divorced, that money goes to father. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva concludes, even a Nara in this state will hand over the money to her father. Imkain, if that's the case, matam loy masha loy rasa. So why then does the Pasuk stipulate that a Nara must be loy rasa? If we're saying that even an engaged Nara has the same exact halach, mufna, you're right, it's an extra Pasuk, an extra Lashon, lahakish loy, which is here to generate a hekish, V'lodoin heimenu gzereshava, and generate and trigger a gzereshava to teach us other halachas. How much does this fellow have to pay? What type of currency does the fellow have to pay when he's ma'anez dinara? So we use these words ashaloy erasa to teach us those halachas. Ne'er marakan ashaloy erasa. Over here by the Oines, the Pasuk, mentions this term ashaloy erasa. V'nemar lahalan, and likewise by the Mefata, the fellow who seduced the Nara. It says the same lashon ashaloy erasa. We connect the two. Ma kan nun, just like over here by the oinus. It's a payment of 50, as the pasuk says. Af lahalan nun, likewise by the Mefata, it's a payment of 50. What type of currency? Uma lahalan shkolim, just like by shkolim by Mefata, it is shkolim, as the pasuk says yishko. Af kan shkolim, likewise by the oinus, it's 50 shkolim. So the words Ashaloy Rosa are available to generate the Gdei Shava, and actually not coming to cancel Knas in the case of an Isha, a Nara who is Nisars. Asks the Gemara. You see, the pasuk gives us three preconditions for kanas: besula, nara, and ashaloy ayrosa. What are we saying, according to Rabbi Kiva? Besula is an absolute requirement. There's no tinkering with that. Nara, non-negotiable. But ashaloy ayrosa, that's negotiable. That's an extra pasuk meant for the gzera shava, and we don't really take it literally, so to speak. It's not really a precondition for knas. Why do you pick and choose this pasuk over that? This is literal and this is not literal. Maybe reverse it. This is literal and that's not literal. Rabbi Kiva, my chazas. What prompts you to prefer the ashalay rasa, the words ashalay rasa, ligzer shava is not coming for the literal stipulation. Rather, ligzer shava. Upsula lamutibula. But the word besula, that's literal, that's absolute. That's etched in stone. She must be a besula. Perhaps the other way around. Emma, maybe we'll say like this. Besula l'gzera shava. She doesn't really need to be a besula. It's not literal. The word besula is just to generate a gzera shava between oines and mefata, because in both contexts we find the word besula. We draw halachas from one to the other, 50, shkalim, etc. Vashaloya rasa. And the words ashaloya rasa, that's to be taken seriously. That's literal. Pratla narashinis arsanis gasha, to exempt. To accept a naro who had been engaged. So who says you go this way, maybe the other way? Answers the Gemara, Mistav. It is probable that the words ashaloy ayroso is not really meant to be taken literally, but rather l'gzera shava. It's coming to make that gzera shava. Why? Because shaharei ani koira ba naro basula. Because even if she was already engaged, let's face it, it's only engagement. She's still going to be the naro. She's still going to be the psula, so she's conforming to the rest of the stipulations in the pasuk. So she's good to go. We apply a knas. What do you mean? Why do you prefer this stipulation? Why do you prefer this requirement? Adrava. Maybe the other way around. Let's say besula. The word besula is not literal. She doesn't have to be a besula. Rather, the word besula is merely l'gzera shava. It's coming to make that gzera shava to teach us the halacha of, the 50 of the shekalim. But she doesn't really need to be a besula. Why? Because as long as she has the other conditions going for her, shareini kareba ashaloya rasa, because after all, she's still a nara and she's not engaged. As long as she has two out of three, what's the difference if it's these two or those two? Why do you insist that besula is a requirement, nara is absolute, but ashaloya rasa, that can be negotiated, right? That can be put by the wayside. That's for the gzera shava. Maybe ashaloya rasa is absolute, nara is absolute, but besula is just for the gzera shava. You don't really need a besula. Answers the Gemara, there is reason for this. Mistavar, it's logical to say that a be'ula loses that knas ability. Likewise, a boigeris, meaning she's past nara, she's already a full adult, it's different. You know why? Ha ishtani gufa, because in this case, her guf went through a change. So for instance, if she's a non-basula, so her guf already transitioned. So now when this fellow gets involved with her ba'inus, Rashi says, the pagam, the effect isn't so severely felt. She was already a ba'ula. The same thing with an isha, who's no longer a nara. She's a begeris. And we know from many gemaras that a begeris's basulim have already diminished somewhat. So the shinui haguf already took place somewhat. And therefore, when this fellow gets involved with her, there is no knas. But, v'ha, lo yishtani gufa. Anisha, who is a besula, who is a nara, but simply was engaged. That factor is external. Doesn't really speak about the isha's guf herself. She hasn't really undergone much of a change, personally. And therefore, it is a svara to say that she retains her knas status. So that's the bottom line. According to Rabbi Kiva, she must be a nara. She must be a besula. But engaged? It's not so terrible. Even if she was engaged and now is divorced, knas still applies. According to Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah, some change did happen. The knas now goes to herself. She keeps it. According to Rabbi Kiva in the Brisa, no change at all. Her father maintains the rights to that money? Asks the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi Aglili has svara menada. You see, Rabbi Kiva used the words Ashaloya Rasa to connect us to the Mafata. This way we know that it's 50 shkalim, etc. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, on the other hand, used the word Ashaloya Rasa literally. She must be unengaged. If she was engaged at some point, there is no knas. So according to him, how do we know the halacha that we derived with the Gzera Shava? He doesn't have an extra pasuk for the Gzera Shava. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, hai svara, this halacha of 50 shekalim, minali, how does he know this? Nafkalei midasanya, he has another drasha. Kes of yishkal, kumay rabsulis, the pasuk by Mefata says, he must pay like the payment issued for Isha's besulim by knas. What's the point of connecting Mefata to Oynes? Sheizeh, the payment given upon being Mefata and Isha, is similar to Mayer Apsulis, like the payment issued by the Oynes. And just like over there it's 50, over here it's 50. Just like over here, Sheizeh Kemayer Apsulis, just like Mayer Apsulis, which is the payment for Knas. The Torah clearly says it's 50. Oynes of Knas is 50. And likewise, over here, by the Mefata, it's 50 as well. What type of currency? Umayr Absula is Kazeh. And the payment given by the Oynes, the 50, is Shekolim, just like Kazeh, just like the payment by Mefata, which is Shekolim. So he learns the same idea from the other Pasuk. Now, let's go back to Rabbi Akiva. We have a seeming contradiction. Kashya, the Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah says, even a naro, shenis arso, will have knas, but the knas is now kept by the isha herself, rather than go to her father. And the braisa, Rabbi Kiva says, the knas still goes to father. Tzrei tanoi, I'll leave the Rabbi Kiva. In fact, there are two versions of Rabbi Kiva. So bottom line is, we have three shittas here. By a naro, shenis arso, nizgarsho. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it doesn't fit the bill. There is no knas at all. According to Rabbi Kiva, there is knas. According to the Mishnah, it goes to herself. According to the Braisa, it goes to her father. Bishlemer Rabbi Akiva de Masnissen. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, a Narish and his Arsa is somewhat affected by her engagement. Typically, the knas payment goes to father. But in this case, since she's not really conforming to the Pasuk, Pasuk says, Ashaloya Rasa. She was engaged. So although we keep the knas in place, but it's directed to herself, she keeps it. Because after all said and done, there is a pasuk, Ashaloya Rasa, even though you use the pasuk for the Gzera Shava, for the 50 shkolim, but fact is, there is a simple meaning to the pasuk as well. You can't ignore the simple meaning of the pasuk, Ashaloya Rasa, which indicates that if there is some erison, the halacha does change. So in fact, it does change somewhat, slightly changes. There is knas payment, but instead of going to father, she keeps it. So that works. Bishleimer Rabbi Akiva de Masnissen. It's fully understandable. It makes sense. According to Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, Lo yasya gzeres shava umapkele lekra mipashte legambe. The gzeres shava, which utilized the word ashaloya rasa for the halacha 50 shekolim, right? It's not going to come and mapkele and undo, and totally eradicate the simple meaning of the pasuk, which says Ashaloya Rasa, knas only applies when she's not engaged. So lo yasi gzera shava umapkele lekra. It will not undo the entire pasuk mipashte legamri from its basic meaning, because there is some deviation in this case. Instead of it going to her father, it goes to herself. So there was some change. Elo Rabbi Akiva de Braisa, but according to Rabbi Akiva de Braisa, the pasuk says Ashaloya Rasa. What do we say? Even if she was engaged, there is knas, just as before. And it goes to father. Asik Zeres Shava, just because he used the words Ashaloya Rasa for the Zeres Shava of the 50 Shekalim, is that Zeres Shava going to come and undo the basic, simple meaning of the pasuk? Umapke and undo Mipashte Legamri from the simple meaning of the pasuk? How can we ignore the simple, basic meaning of the pasuk? Which seems to say that if there's engagement involved, there's no knas, or at least there's some change in the halacha. Amar v'nachmar by Yitzchak karibay. Let's sort of relearn. It's a drasha. We'll view the word differently. Karibay, read it instead of Ashaloi, Aira Sa, she must be an Isha, who never was engaged. Rather, we read it Ashaloi Arusa, she isn't presently engaged. Oh, that's a requirement. But if she's engaged right now, then there's no Knas. Asks the Gemara, that's simple. Arusa Baskili, she's currently engaged and she's an Ashes Ish, of course. Involving with this Isha is Skila. Of course, there's no payment. We don't need a pasuk for that. We do. Sagada dechamina, there would be room to think. After all, this payment isn't basic chiyuv mamon, it's a knas. Sagada dechamina, this is similar to the Gemara Naman Aleph. Hoyel v'chidushu shechidusha teira beknas. Since this idea of payment upon being ma'anis and isha is a knas, it's something unconventional, I would say avagav de miktel, even if this fellow is getting misa because he got involved with a nara who is currently engaged, avagav de miktel, even though misa is applied to him, mishalim he'll still have to pay because it's a knas. The chiddush is he doesn't. Asks the Gemara, but according to Rabba, you do pay in this case. Rabba was the one who held that knas can be added to misa. Rabba the Amar, chiddushu shechidusha teira beknas. The Torah is introducing something new with knas, meaning this idea of knas doesn't fit conventional guidelines, and therefore avagav de miktel mishalim, even if he's going to get misa, he still have to pay the knas. Michael Amemar, so according to him, what is the pasuk teaching us? That if she's engaged, there's no payment, there is payment. Because knas can be added to misa. Michael Amemar, so according to him, how do we learn the pasuk? Answer is, he goes with the other version of Rabbi Akiva. Savala, Rabba will follow the shita of Rabbi Akiva de Masnissen. Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah who maintains that we read the pasuk the way it's written, Ashaloi Oy Rasa. That only an Isha who never had prior engagement experience, we're speaking about past experience, only in that case do we apply the comprehensive system of Knas. But otherwise, if she had prior engagement experience, there's some change that occurs, which basically means, although Knas is paid, but she keeps it. So according to Rekiva in the Mishnah, we don't have to change the spelling, so to speak. Ashaloi Eirasa remains as such. She never had engagement, because otherwise, something happens. There is Knas payment, but it goes to herself. The Kasha was only according to Rekiva in the Brisa. We sort of seem to ignore Ashaloi Eirasa, because he seemed to say that even if there was prior engagement experience, nothing changes. There's Knas and she gives it to her father. Question was, how can we ignore the actual pasuk? So we had to tweak it a bit. Instead of Ashaloi Eirasa, Ashaloi Arusa. And that generated the Kasha and Rabba. But according to Rabba, he'll take the other approach. But of course, even a case where there's Misa, according to Rabba, there'll be a Knas. Tana Rabbanu, we have a Braisa, which says, Knas Olami. To whom do we direct the Knas payments? La'avia, to father. Ve'ish Aymrim, some say La'atzma, to herself. La'atzma, amai, why does it go to herself? Her father is meant to accept payment. Omar of Chizda was speaking about a unique case. The case in our sugya. Hacha ben Nara, shenes arsa v'nes garsha askina, a Nara, who had been engaged and now divorced. And the question is, where does the money go to? And obviously, we're going according to Shitas Rabbi Akiva, there is Knas, the question is, where does it go? We have two versions. V'kamifilki, v'plukta, the Rabbi Akiva, the Masnissen, Rabbi Akiva, the Brisa. And these two Shitas in this Brisa reflect the two versions of Rabbi Akiva. The first Shita, that the Knas goes to father, that reflects Rabbi Akiva of the Brisa. Whereas the second Shita, that she keeps the money, that is consistent with Rabbi Akiva and our Mishnah. Amar Abaye, ba'ala omesa. Potter. Suppose this fellow involved himself with a Nara. So that triggers the Chiv of Knas, and then she passes away before her father, nailed him down, before her father got Bezin to issue a verdict against him. Now she's no longer amongst the living. Does he have to pay Knas to father or not? Potter is completely Potter. Why should Nemar? The Nosan Levi Anara. The perpetrator pays the father of the Nara. We learn she must be around. Veloy Levi Mesa, as opposed to a father of a Mesa. Continues the Gemara. Most of the Pshita Le'abayit, this halacha, which was obvious to Abaye. Most of the pshita led Abaye that what? The chiv only applies if his daughter is still around. Otherwise he's pater. Mi boy lil Rava was actually a question posed by Rava. Rava wasn't unsure about this halacha. How do we know? The boy Rava. Rava posed the following question. We know that chiv knas only applies to a nara, right? As soon as she turns adult, until 6 months later, she's considered a nara. During that window of narus, knas would apply. But let's say a fellow was ma'anes a nara, and by the time father got around to take him to Bezdin, she turned a boy geres. We're going to learn later in Daf Mem Aleph, although the fellow has to pay, but the money goes to her herself, goes to the Isha herself. Now let's say he was involved with a Nara. She was past 12, but not yet a Begeris. She was 2 days shy of being a Begeris, and then she passes away. 3 days later, father goes to Bezin, and there's a Gemar Din issued against his fellow. He must pay up. Who does the money go to? To father? Or perhaps to the daughter's Yerushim, she had a son or whatever. Who's entitled to the payment? The boy Rava. Rava had this shayla. Yesh beggar bekever. The fact that she's in a kever, she's already passed away. Does she achieve, so to speak, the state of bagrus, even though she's no longer here? In which case, father loses rights to the money, because if she would be around, she would have been past the age of bagrus. It's all theoretical, obviously. She's not maturing in the kever, but it means in terms of the time frame. If she would have been around, the father would not have any rights to this money. So he can't have rights to the money now. It goes to her descendants. Or you ain't beggar but kever. Or perhaps the concept of bagrus doesn't apply once she passes away. And the Gemara explains, yeish beggar but kever. Does bagrus kick in, even in this stage? With the Bnohavi, and therefore father has no rights to the money, rather her son gets it. Or perhaps, ain beggar bekever, once she passes away, she cannot achieve even theoretical bagrus. We treat her as a nara, and who gets the money? Udavi Ahavi, and the money belongs to the father. So bottom line is, Rava is alluding to paying a father even when daughter is not around, and that is not like Shita Sabaye, who says that if daughter is not around, he is Pater. Okay, let's do a quick chazar. We started with a sugya of Misa with Mamain. When there's Misa, there's no Mamain. Be it a Misa Chambura, be it a Misa Kala, be it a Misa when he did a Masa which generates Misa because it was Mazed, or even if he did that act B'Shegi, where there is no actual Misa, but there is no payment at all. According to the prevalent shita in the Gemara, even if it's a knas payment, it's not added to Misa. In order for knas to be triggered, we must fulfill three conditions. She's a nara, a besula, and the pasuk adds the word ashaloy erosa. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it's all taken literally. So if she's not a nara, or not a besula, or had been previously engaged, even though she's no longer engaged, there is no knas at all. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's not so. Nara, that's absolute. Besula, that's absolute. But Ashaloy Erasa, it's primarily used for the Gzeira Shava, and therefore it's not really a requirement. According to Rabbi Akiva and the Braisa, nothing changes. There's Knas, and Knas belongs to the father. According to Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah, there's some change that occurs. Instead of going to father, she receives the payment. We ended with a halacha, the name of Abaye. Ba'alel Umesa, there's no payment, and Rava disagrees. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rava.